Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. It's Sam from freeking.com.
Sam, how's freedom?
It's doing pretty good. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
Hey, let's talk about the skateboarders. I'm wondering what you think should happen to these kids who are just skateboarding who haven't really hurt anybody.
I think they should go over to the skateboard park.
Okay, but what if they don't want to? What if they're just using their skateboard as a means of transportation to get to a friend's house, you know, in the summer?
Then I think they need to pick up their skateboard when they get into the downtown area.
Okay.
And walk with it under their arm until they're out of the downtown area, and then they can continue to skateboard.
And if they don't, what do you think is a punishment that should be dealt out to them?
Well, I would like to say that I would like to call their parents and have their parents deal with it, but unfortunately, I think today parents don't deal with it. So I think that they should, I mean, there must be some kind of I don't know what the law is, but there must be some sort of a penalty that the city allows for that sort of thing. And I'm sure
probably a violation, but if they don't pay for the ticket, then the state's response is to put them in jail. So would you advocate putting someone in jail just because they rode a bike or skateboarded down a sidewalk in a certain prohibited area?
Well, I guess it depends. I mean, for example, I went up and spoke to the kids the other night and said, you know, you're not supposed to. So now they know they're not supposed to. And, you know, if you continue to do this, you know, I will call the police. And then I drove away, and when I came back, they were skateboarding again. I mean, they've been warned. They know that they're not doing the right thing. So, yes, I think whatever punishment, if they don't want to abide by the rules and pay the fine, just
they
like
should
they
go to jail.
I think they, maybe not in jail, but I think there should be some sort of penalty.
Well, I mean, I can see, I wouldn't want to be walking downtown and get run down by somebody on a bicycle or get hit by an errand skateboard because they're doing tricks or whatever. So that's certainly a concern, but if that happens, aren't there already laws that, I mean, that would essentially be assault or negligent behavior? There's got to be something out there that already covers this, and really what it's restricting is people who exercise, ride their bike or skateboard responsibly through the area. It's taking away their freedom.
I think it's tough to skateboard and ride your bike responsibly in an area that's as crowded as downtown.
Can be, but if you remember when I did the ride-along with Shane Maxfield, the police ticketed a guy at 2 in the morning who was riding home from a bar on the sidewalk because he didn't want to be in the street with the drunks that are driving home and risk getting hit. I mean, it was a rainy night. He had a dark sweatshirt on, and the police gave him a ticket for that. That's abuse. I mean, do you think that's reasonable?
I don't know because I wasn't there. I mean, talk about non-answer.
I mean, that's the problem when you have this government one-size-must-fit-all solution. The law doesn't take into account the actual circumstances. It takes good judgment completely out of the equation and just introduces force and compliance.
But having been knocked over by a skateboarder, I would certainly want it to happen again.
Again, and I would say, you know, that's negligent behavior, or there's some law that already covers that because they've actually caused you harm when the skateboard hit you.
Right.
Restricting all skateboards.
Not just the skateboard, but the person on it as well.
Right, but I mean, that's restricting behavior that's peaceful that doesn't harm anybody.
Well, it harmed me.
Would you not agree, though, that there already is a law that covers what happened to you, regardless of the skateboarding ban?
I don't know how much freedom.
I guess my question is, how much freedom would you advocate taking away from people in order to have the perception of safety?
I would take away riding bicycles and skateboards in the downtown area in order to guarantee people safely. Okay. Thanks, Sam.
Good morning, Cynthia. It's Ian from freeking.com. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Oh, it's so nice to have you back.
Thank you. I wanted to
address a couple things here briefly. First off, the young people that seemingly have nothing better to do, right? I mean, we see them everywhere. They're hanging out in front of the library at all hours of the day and the night. We know where they are, right? So why are they like that is, of course, the question. And I would just like to suggest a possibility, and that would be that the government prohibits them from working. A lot of these people are not over the age of 16, and in many places that's the minimum age for working. The truth is it's 14, but there are so many regulations on 14 and 15-year-olds working, it's not worth it for a company to hire them. So the government makes it difficult to impossible to hire young people, and that means that they've got nothing better to do. I mean, if they could be out earning money, I'm sure a lot of them would be choosing that as an option. But that's not even an option on the table, thanks to the existence of the state. And I'd like to encourage those people who were talking about the federal government and how inefficient and awful it is, and you were agreeing with them, I'd like to encourage those people to take a serious look at the idea of declaring independence and having New Hampshire be basically its own country, or Keene, whatever, because the federal government is just sucking the wealth out of this country and not returning any value, because government really is not very efficient or effective at doing that. Your thoughts?
Well, boy, that's a lot to lay on somebody with no notice. But, I mean, my first thought is, I guess I like being part of the country.
Why? Is it just nostalgia?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's really something I would have to think about. It's not anything I've ever given any thought to.
When you do think about it, I mean, think about how it is that they've sort of programmed us with, you know, the idea that it's the best country on earth, and you know, there's all these songs and apple pie and mountain majesties and all of that, and that's designed to, you know, the waving flag. It's all designed to, you know, elicit those feelings of nostalgia and that and warmth. When in reality, once you brush all that away, the reality is this is an organization that kills people, that was, you know, has been responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people who didn't have to die over all of the years. So it's not really a warm, fuzzy operation in any way, shape, or form. So whatever connections you have are just connections you've drawn. They don't necessarily connect to reality. Also,
I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, "I love my country, but I'm scared to death of the government."
Yeah, exactly. I love the people in America. It's right. Just the ones that that are hurting others. I have a problem with what they're doing. And let's talking about hurting others. Let's talk about the jailing of Dave Ridley. Do you know that there's another videographer, another professional journalist sitting in the Cheshire County Jail right now?
I think I saw that in the paper. Yes.
How do you feel about that? I mean, how many more journalists is the city of Keene and the state of New Hampshire going to arrest around here?
Well, I don't know all the particulars. It's hard to say. I don't think they should be in jail, but Lord, I wish if somebody in authority tells you don't film. Follow the rules.
How about you guys follow the rules? This is your organization, and they're your rules, and your rules say that the Constitution is the top law of the land, and the Constitution makes it very clear that the press should be free. So as usual, the government isn't following its own rules, whereas we always have to follow the rules or we'll go to jail, but if you guys break your own rules, everybody just looks the other way. And so I have to know, did you also know that the clerk has banned cameras from her office now?
Yes. And I got to tell you, Ian, and we've got another call, so I'll make this fast, but I really agree with that. I think that there are things that go on in the city clerk's office that are very personal, very private. They should not have any way of getting out. When you're talking about adoptions, you're talking about custody, you're talking about a lot of things, and I just don't think that that's where the cameras belong. I really don't. I feel, and court is a different thing, but I feel really strongly about the city clerk's office.
Why is it, Cynthia, that the city attorney won't answer questions on camera? You pull a camera out and that guy runs away like a cockroach and a light being shown on him.
I don't know.
He just runs away.
I don't know. I mean, he's a good city attorney, so I don't know. But anyway, we've got to take another call, Ian. But thank you for calling, and you can call back. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Cynthia,
good morning.
And Colonel Roberts.
Good morning.
I think you make a good duo, and I always enjoy listening to the two of you. The man who, Ian, I think it is, he calls fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. What he's saying, in effect, was said so much better by Mark Twain at the end of the 19th century. Patriotism consists and loving my country at all times and my government when it deserves it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I don't think, I kind of enjoy his his sometimes tirades, sometimes very thoughtful remarks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that every time I think about them, I go back to Aristotle. I mean, as far back as the Greek experiment with very limited democracy in the 5th century before Christ. And that was, Aristotle said at the beginning of studying biology and what I suppose you could call sociology, that man is naturally a social creature, that we do organize in groups. And given the reality of that, and given the reality that not all are equal, that is to say, equal upstairs in the brain area, some will lead and some will follow. So I think he's got to offer a blueprint. I think this, just this critique of all society that's organized politically and nothing more, Keene is a lousy government, the U.S. is a lousy government, this is a lousy government, that, it's not going far enough. It becomes cliche and repetitive. I think he's got to offer a richer alternative. I think he's got to come up with not just the criticism, but I think he's got to come up with, well, what would be a good model for you? Supposing you were in the position of the people in Philadelphia in the summer of 1787, what would you have done there? And probably you wouldn't have had so many lawyers or landholders. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You might have gotten a larger selection of just the average people, and there might not have been slavery that you would have had to compromise on, a great sin in the Constitution. But beyond that, I don't see him. I always listen to him with the idea that one day he might come up with a solution of his own. He may. Now, we had, you know, all those communes in the 19th century. I think there was something called Brookstone or something in Concord, Mass. And throughout the country, these all turned out to be failures because the reality sooner or later came upon them that some people naturally lead and some people naturally follow, all things being equal. And I think I want to hear more of just what he would, what kind of society he would organize rather than Keene is a lousy government. And sure, I hate paying taxes, too. And or the U.S. is a lousy government, and it's gone to, from a republic to an empire overnight. Those are, all, of course, real. But we want much more than that, I think.
Well, I think if Ian's listening, we can tell him to think about that for the next week and call us next week and let us know what he would do.
And we'll have a very, very thoughtful exchange then.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Thank you. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
So am I to assume that the latest planks from freebeking.com are, number one, the repeal of child labor laws, and the secession of New Hampshire from the Union. I think that's what I heard.
It certainly is what it sounded like.
Yeah, well, actually, look, this is just, you had a previous caller who talked about asking for solutions. The solutions aren't the point here. Ian's running a business.
Well.
You know, and I mean, it's just the notion of Ian actually doing the intellectual heavy lifting to really think through right to the end, to the extent that one can think to the end of anything, the implication of various ideas, that's not his thing. You know,
right.
He's not that deep or probably all that smart, you know. It's just, you know, cribbing a few things from a few things that he's read here and there. Not a whole lot of history, it seems, given...
And as far as child labor goes, we all know that the reason the child labor laws came in is because people were abusing children, and, I mean, by abusing, I mean forcing them to work long hours, not going to school, all that sort of things in sweatshops.
Right. Well,
how do
exactly.
we avoid that if we give up the child labor laws?
Ian will give you some sort of half-baked platitude or cliche that he thinks is an answer. But no, you're right. I mean, these are all issues that we have we've hashed out for over decades. I mean, slave labor of children was, one quasi-libertarian argument would be, well, let the market take care of it. People would see that Company X employs children. They will be revulsed by that. They won't buy Company X's products as a result. Nonsense.
And I think Ian is big on personal responsibility, but unfortunately not everyone has personal responsibility. I mean, store owner one or factory owner one may say, I don't want children cutting their little fingers off in my machines. And store owner two may say, ha-ha, I can save $100,000 if I use children. And
what's
the difference?
I despair at the way a lot of our country is running, the way a lot of our world is run, in a sense. So I am truly open to practical alternatives. I'm just not hearing any from that particular source. I'm just hearing platitudes.
Well, we will have someone from the Free State Project on again and talk with them, and you can call in with questions, and we'll try to get answers for you.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, sorry to call back, but since people have been bringing me up, figured I'd point out
bringing you down, depending on how you look at it.
Well, you know, it's fine. That last guy, all he ever has to say is that, in that particular call, all he had to say was, Ian's stupid. And, you know, when you don't actually have something to say, when you don't have a valid argument, go ahead and attack the other person, because that always works really well. And then, of course, drag out the argumentum, I believe it's ad antiquatum, or argument from tradition, to suggest that, well, just because something's always been done this way, it must continue to be done that way in the future. The whole idea that supporting the ability for young people to be able to work is somehow supporting slave labor, that's the connection he made, that's absolutely absurd. People get to choose in this country where they work, and they get to choose when they quit. So if they're being abused and they don't appreciate the conditions they're in, they can go and work somewhere else or start their own business with better conditions. That's why the marketplace has air conditioning and overhead lighting and things like that today. It's not because of government regulation. It's because of competition for employees, because employees can go somewhere else. And I'd also like to say that as far as solutions are concerned, if he's not hearing solutions, it's because he's not listening to what I've said over my many phone calls. And certainly we don't get into solutions in every single call, but I was sitting in there with you just a couple of weeks ago and gave some solutions. Obviously, we're short on time, but the solution is a voluntary society where people who are threatening and harming others stop doing that. The people in government who are threatening to steal houses from people and put peaceful people like Dave Ridley in prison, stop hurting other people. That's the solution.
But
everything else grows from that.
Everyone voluntarily be good, if you will.
You can't do it for everybody.
There are
but
bad
you can
people.
Certainly do it for you can certainly do it for the people who claim to be doing good in the organization called government. And I'd also like to point out that if you're interested in learning more, you can visit book.freekeen.com. There's a free audiobook there, also a free PDF that you can download that has a lot of great vision for what the future could look like in a more voluntary society. With that, I bid you a good day.
Thank you. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just quick response. I mean,
it's gonna have to be quick.
I just want to clarify. I wasn't calling Ian stupid as an ad hominem. I was saying he said something incredibly stupid.
Which, oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much for clarifying that.
So the smarmy Dartmouth guy tries to make himself sound better at the last moment by claiming that he only said that I had said something stupid. Let's play back exactly what he said.
The notion of Ian actually doing the intellectual heavy lifting to really think through the implication of various ideas, that's not his thing. You know,
right.
he's not that deep or probably all that smart.
Okay. So he didn't actually use the word stupid.
He's not that deep or probably all that smart.